So we should probably start this episode.
I know.
That's not the episode?
Sometimes you just get so, you know, off track, having fun with friends. That's the start of our episode.
Yeah.
High Mystery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of
High Mystery.
Hello.
This is the podcast where we smoke weed and we talk about mysteries.
Yeah.
Mysteries about Bigfoot, mysteries about aliens, mysteries about ghosts, mysteries about spontaneous combustion, but you name it.
But none of those today.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know.
I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Robert.
I'm Chris.
And today we're going to be smoking some weed and talking about mysteries. I got my Dabs bong again. It's got ice in the top. And we're going to be smoking some Gushers and some Platinum Cookies.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I shall be drinking coffee.
Which is a drug in its own way, you know?
Certainly.
And then I think Rob's got a little blunt for us over there.
I do, and it's packed with weed.
You didn't bring a tobacco blunt for us today.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Gunpowder in it?
I had to find my little container. It's filled with Jack Herrera.
Jack Herrera? Yeah. Oh, did anybody find out who Jack is?
Yeah. Yeah.
You did?
You looked into that?
I did.
Okay. Good. Regale us.
I don't remember.
Oh, are you... Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, he smoked a bunch of Jack in celebration.
I think he was just a person that was trying to get weed legalized, medical use or something like that. I don't know. I can't fully remember.
I know that's also like Larry, right?
Larry from Larry OG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What? Really?
We really need to learn about our, you know... The people, if you will.
Yeah. Fought the good fight, so we can be doing exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah. It's true. We should really.
I mean, they did get honored by having probably one of the most common strains out there.
That is true. Both of those strains I find in most dispensaries. Yeah. I find them a lot of times. So yes. They're all over the place.
And they're solid.
We should know. We should know why. You know,
yeah.
We should know.
I feel like we did at one point.
Rob did. Rob did for a minute. I know.
Because I was listening to like that first episode or something like that when we asked that question. And then I had to look it up. And then that was like several months ago.
You know what the worst part is? That's exactly what I did too.
Yeah.
I listened to the episode, looked it up, and now I couldn't tell you a thing.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're all imperfect beings. And, you know, we're going to do our research. I'm going to find out. I will find out who Jack Herrera is.
That's the mystery.
Next episode.
See you guys next week.
Got some research to do.
All right. I'm going to light this ball to get us started.
Light that ball. Light that ball.
Drink that coffee.
Yeah, you getting amped off that coffee, bro? Feel like you could stay up all night?
Oh, God. To the roof.
Feel more focused than ever, bro? You feeling a little slumpy today? Just have a cup of Joe.
Change now. You ever see those coffee mugs that have like the little down stem to smoke a bowl out of?
Yeah,
that's pretty dope.
I'm always afraid that like the coffee's gonna get the weed wet though.
Yeah, how does this work? It's gonna have two chambers, right?
I guess,
it's a whole separate game.
Hollow or whatever, and then, but still, like
you can never
water
have...
too close.
There's water too close. It's dangerous. That's a fresh bowl.
That's right. With possibly Keef on it.
You could never have iced coffee out of it because then it would like get condensation and you'd for sure have a wet bowl.
Yeah.
Oh.
I still want one though. For those like Sunday mornings when you cook a gigantic breakfast and have your coffee with it.
I do not know of which you speak.
What?
I've never seen this coffee mug.
Mm. Bowl.
Bowl. Pipe.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you never had like a Sunday breakfast. I was like, what are you talking about?
It means he's never smoked weed.
People have breakfast on Sundays?
Just imagine that's a coffee mug. Like a little bowl,
that's the day you sleep in.
Okay, today our mystery is the Sodder children disappearance.
My goodness.
Christmas Eve, 1945.
Oh, the war is over. Everybody celebrate.
In Fayetteville, West Virginia. Indeed. Okay, so George and Jenny Sodder live in a house with 9 of their 10 children. Their oldest son is off at college, I think. It's Christmas Eve night, and a fire breaks out, and only 4 kids make it out. The remaining 6 are never accounted for.
Oh, man.
Like, so body's not found.
Yeah.
Bones not found.
I'm over that, or it blazed so hot it burned their bones to ash.
Yeah.
But there would also be no fat, like, outline, you know,
like
when you're
in the Matilda Rooney case,
yeah, or something like that, where it's just like, you know, you're melted on the ground or something like that. They would be able to see that somebody was there. It wouldn't just be ash.
I mean, if it was so hot that the whole structure comes down and it's like hard to discern what's ash from the wood or what's ash from the people.
Yeah. I'm no expert either.
But that's what we'll be exploring. Let me set the scene a little bit for you. The Sodder family. Italian immigrants, middle class. George ran a trucking company. So these are pretty, you know, salt of the earth, working hard kind of people.
Trying to live the American dream.
Immigrants, yeah.
Absolutely. George was strongly opposed to Mussolini.
Who wasn't?
A lot of Italian immigrants were not strongly opposed to Mussolini. In fact, they backed his politics in America. Yeah.
Wrong side of history.
Agreed. But that also put George on the wrong side of Italian immigrants.
Sure. Okay, motive.
Potentially. It was a trait certainly disliked by the immigrant community. They expected him to be more like, yeah, Mussolini's got it right. He should be fighting for Italians and doing it right or whatever.
How dare you not conform to group mentality?
Yeah, exactly. So what happens on Christmas Eve night at 12:30 a.m. Christmas Eve going into Christmas morning, Jenny gets a call from a voice that she doesn't recognize who asks for a name she doesn't recognize. In the background, she hears laughter and glasses clinking.
It's like the Shining. He hears a party going on where people are drinking, but he's going insane.
Cabin fever.
She's got the cabin fever.
Yeah, I don't know if the phone company could like corroborate whether she did get a call or not. Mm. Who knows? She checks on the kids and only finds Marion on the couch. She returns her to her bed and assumes the others are in their attic bedroom. At 1 a.m., Jenny wakes up to a thud and then a rolling sound, but just goes back to sleep afterwards.
A lot of things are happening on this night, and nobody's kind of checking shit
out. Jenny's pretty neglectful.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know. She has kids who are teenagers and stuff, you know, they're not like young kids. They can put themselves to bed.
It's not uncommon for rustling around to happen.
And it was also Christmas Eve night. The kids had gotten a lot of like new toys and stuff. And so it was like a treat for them to get to stay up with the new toys.
And I mean, you're a kid. It's fucking difficult to go to sleep the night before Christmas.
True. Yeah, and you're a parent who just spent like 6 weeks shopping and getting things ready and putting up trees and all that crap.
They're high on candy canes.
So, you know, just don't be so quick to indict Jenny Sodder, okay?
Apologies, she's Jenny. I wish to retract my earlier comments.
Chris is sorry.
Yeah, that was a little brash.
I was just kidding.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, so at 1:30 a.m., she wakes up to the smell of smoke, and she finds a fire in George's office. That's where the fuse box is and where the telephone wires are.
Yeah, she kept getting some rando calls and that overloaded the fuse box.
That party was lit.
Yeah. It was such a good party. It electrified the phone lines all the way to the solder house. So she wakes up her husband and they escape with four kids.
Huh.
Yeah. Apparently they yelled to the other children to no avail, but they couldn't go up the stairs as fire had engulfed them. Their phone didn't work, so they called from next door, and they couldn't get an operator. They normally had a ladder on the side of their roof. The ladder was missing. So, like, it was just the worst, just piling on of these horrible things. Like, you wake up, you smell smoke, you freak out, you grab your kids who are downstairs, the youngest who can't take care of themselves the most, you know?
Right.
You make sure and get those four kids, and then when you try to go to your kids in the attic, the stairwell's on fire, you know, you hope they climb out their window or something like that. You hope you can get in the ladder to do it. You go outside, there's no ladder. You go next door to the neighbors.
You can't get a phone.
The phone's not working. You go to the other neighbor. You actually do call, and you can't get an operator. It's just like a dead tone, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, George Sauter, the father, actually tries to move his trucks close to the house in order to climb onto the truck, onto the roof, and hopefully get up to get the kids. Both trucks are unable to start.
Oh.
It's literally, like, so bad that if you put, like, Benny Hill underneath it, it would be a comedy routine. Like, you know, that it's everything just, I mean, like...
It almost seems like it could be things that were tampered with.
That's exactly
both of the trucks were in perfect working order the previous day. Mm. One of them had been, like, recently serviced.
Yeah, they took the neighbors spark are like,
oh, my
out.
Phone's not working.
Well, one neighbor didn't have a phone, I think, or they tried to use their home phone initially before they even left, like, the burning house, and it didn't work. So there was some suggestion of, like, the phone lines having been tampered with.
Mm.
Who knows?
Plot thickens.
All these delays and a small fire, volunteer fire department meant that no one arrived until morning.
Jesus.
Yeah, that place is gone.
Yeah.
And so is the next place. Like, half that block is gone.
Well, luckily the houses are far enough apart. Mm. You know, this is West Virginia. Mm. Yeah. You can have a yard in West Virginia. Yeah. This is in L.A. The houses don't touch each other. Mm. So, but yeah, the house was certainly gone. They didn't find any bones. There was no smell of burning flesh when the family was outside and, you know, five people inside of a home burning. It's like, just think of, like, if you're standing outside of a barbecue, you smell the barbecue, you know?
And I would imagine you would hear them, like, screaming in pain or scared or something.
Breaking the windows, trying to knock it out. I guess if they had smoke inhalation and
they were
asphyxiation,
just, like, passed out of there.
If they never woke up and just were asphyxiated. But you would still hear, you know, what it sounds like when... It's a horrible thing to think about, but humans are very fatty and full of grease, and it would crackle and pop and smell. You smell when their body's burning, no matter where it is, I feel like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds, and this is just preliminary hypothesis here, but it sounds like somebody stole those kids and then, you know, like, stole the spark plugs out the truck so they wouldn't follow this woman, I assume.
Did their older kids share their political view, or were they upset about being ostracized from the community?
I mean, they had a pretty good, like, upper middle class kind of life. So I think maybe somewhat, but it doesn't seem like it severely affected the kids. It was never mentioned or anything that he had, like, trouble at college, the older kid, or anything like that. So... It was only George who seemed to have issues. But there's more stuff to this, of course. Mm. Even though there was no smell of burning flesh, etc., the fire chief still concluded the children died in the fire. Even though no bones were found.
Well,
no,
it sounds like more work. You know, it's like, they were there. You guys said they were there. Yeah, it's burnt. Yeah.
The fire chief don't have to do any follow-up. He's the fire chief. Yeah. He could say, yeah, they burned in the fire, or no, somebody kidnapped them. Go and find the person.
I don't know. I think he has a duty to report accurately. Yeah,
that's what exactly what I'm thinking. I don't think he's like worried about paperwork or anything.
He's just a fire
chief.
Yeah,
he's just, yeah. He's just worried about one way or the other.
The fire department barbecue next month.
Yeah, right?
How much brisket they're going to need.
And I got to assume he's telling the truth because he's like, no, I've seen so many fires and some where the bodies were in it. You don't need to smell it, you know? It doesn't always smell. I don't know what the case is. But, like...
I just don't know how much, like, investigation into it he may have done.
Clearly not much.
He doesn't have any proof.
Right.
But I guess...
But he also has no reason to come to the conclusion that they died in the fire. There's no bones left behind. They say that the fire did not burn hot enough to... get to
vaporize.
Yeah, exactly. It was not cremation level. So there should be sternums, there should be femurs, there should be vertebrae, skulls. Those things don't, it takes an extreme temperature and a lot of fuel directed at bones in order to make them disappear. And
you said he was like the local fire?
Yeah, this is a volunteer fire department.
Wow.
So they ruled that they died in the fire. They ruled that it was an electrical fire, even though the Christmas lights on the house stayed on throughout the fire. And it was recently inspected, the electrical systems in the house.
Yeah.
Right? They later found that the ladder that they were missing was hidden in a nearby embankment.
Mm.
So, like, tucked away.
Super suspicious. That's
sketchy as
fuck. Like, that's not even, oh, it fell over or someone was using it over here. That's, like, straight up hidden.
Yeah. Apparently, a bus driver who was driving by says he saw people throwing balls of fire at the house.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, they had superpowers? Like, throwing balls of fire?
Like a Molotov cocktail, oh, okay. Or you can soak a...
Jerry Lee Lewis just out there with those great balls of fire.
Laying down bat beats and balls of fire, kicking up the streets. But you can also soak a tennis ball in gasoline. And I've if you that. Wear like a rubber glove or whatever, or like a heavy-duty glove, whatever it is, you can use that to like throw it on something.
In high school, my friend built a little trebuchet, and we would light things on fire and launch it on the trebuchet.
And you grew up in California, so super safe. Not known for fires or anything. I'm sure you had like a concrete backyard to do it in or something, I hope.
Yeah, it was a big enough, like, I want to say it was like on a football field or something. So it was like a controlled area.
Sure. I don't think Smokey the Bear would approve, but
I don't think California would approve.
Yeah, true.
We made sure that it was out.
You stomped it, you wet it down. I got gotcha. You. I gotcha.
Looked at it crossly.
You stir it with a stick. I see. I see.
Right.
There are several reports of people in town who claim to see the kids in a vehicle, like either passing by or like stopping at, you know, gas station or something like that. And since then, there have also been different sightings, like a woman who saw, they saw him at a hotel. She thinks she saw a group of immigrants with a group of kids. And when she, like, inquired about the kids, they hushed the kids up and rushed them out of the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in 1949, so this is just 4 years later, the site was fully excavated because they were tearing up the yard to make a monument to the missing kids. And a human vertebrae was found.
Ooh.
But it was ruled to be a 16 to 23-year-old.
Mm.
And it had no fire exposure. And the oldest kid who was missing at the time was a 14-year-old.
Huh.
So some people speculate that all this is like mob intervention, that like the mob stole the kids and sold them into child slavery or something, or whatever you do with the kids. And just
threw some random cadavers or whatever.
Exactly, to like throw them off the scent or be like, yeah, they did die in the fire. Look, here it is, you know, here's some vertebrae or something like that.
Hmm.
In 1967, Jenny Sauter receives a photo of Lewis Sauter, her son, her oldest son, I think the 14-year-old.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And it comes with a note, I think. I can't remember what the note says. I'm sorry. I know I'm the worst. But I don't know why I didn't write down more of that. But yeah, she received a photo of him in the mail.
No note. It was just eerie.
Yeah, apparently.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Was the photo of him now as he would be older or of an old...
I'm pretty sure it was of him now. I'm kind of kicking myself for not following up on that further. Why did I just write that down and leave it at that? Anyway, help us out. Let us know.
Do our job for us, please.
Maybe I'll put a photo on Instagram to you know, and iron this out. I feel terrible. How did I not do that? Anyway, there's a couple suspects. In October of 1945, so just a little before Christmas, a life insurance salesman threatened that George's house would go up in smoke and his children were going to be destroyed.
Hmm. Wow.
That's a hard sell.
That's quite a threat, you know?
Yeah. He pretty much accurately predicted everything.
Maybe that guy was a soothsayer.
Maybe it was mad groaning.
Graining.
Graining. Groaning.
See? It's debatable.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways.
Also, someone in town wanted to fix George's fuses, but George had them already recently inspected and fixed, and he threatened to him that his house would burn down.
Wait.
This is a separate
person? The guy that checked his fuses?
Yeah.
Well, then.
So there's two people who have said that his house would burn.
And are these all people from the community that supposedly don't like him?
I mean, I'd have to assume.
Yeah.
Maybe they go in, they see some anti-Mussolini painting or something.
Or a non-positive Mussolini painting.
Yeah, they just see a lack of Mussolini paintings.
I mean, I would think that... your first step would be like throwing bricks through windows with notes on them saying, get out of our town or something. You don't just up and like...
No, you go from zero to a million.
Gotta kill them kids.
Crazy people do. I mean,
gotta sell them into
whenever I hear slavery. About things about like the mob and the mafia, it's not controlled and, you know, it's very passionate and, you know, intense and scary.
Not
and
thought out.
Exactly, yeah. It's a world of killing.
Yeah.
So who's to say what people
forget about it?
In December of 1945, the kids noticed two men in a car watching them walk home from school. Yeah, not great.
Yeah. People just staring out at you.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. For sure. The coroner eventually convened an inquest, and a jury included George's threatening life insurance agent ruled it was faulty wiring. So the guy who threatened George, the insurance guy, was on the jury that ruled that it was faulty wiring.
What? How is that even possible?
I know, right?
I don't understand.
Well, it's just like in the OJ case. Judge Ito was married to that one woman that served with Mark Furman, but they allowed it anyways.
Yeah, it's a miscarriage of justice.
If I could jump in there momentarily, the photograph.
Oh, this letter?
Yeah, the photograph. Inside was a picture of a young man around 30 with features strongly resembling Lewis's, who would have been in his 30s if he had survived. Now, on the back was written, and it's not much, Lewis Sauter, or is it Louis, perhaps? Louis Sauter. Lewis. I love brother Frankie. Lil boys, and I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but there's two L's. L-L-I-L, boys, lil boys. And then these very cryptic numbers. A90132 or 35. So A90132 or 35, and that was
so it's what's okay, written. It's 3301.
Yeah. And that...
very cryptic.
They're talking about a song by the Lil Boys.
right?
That rap group.
And if you go into song number, and on that
the
timeline,
A-side.
You're welcome, Sonner family. We got this.
Yeah, I know. Right?
You're in good hands here. Rob's on the case.
Okay, just a couple more little things. The phone line was found to be cut 14 feet up and 2 feet out.
Huh?
Yeah, this is really structured.
So
someone did this.
You know. 14 feet off the ground and 2 feet from the structure. So that's where they cut it. So, like, they
away
had to be...
From...
Yeah, they had to stretch up pretty high. They probably used the ladder.
Yeah.
They also found a green rubber ball like a pineapple grenade in the brush.
Those were the fireballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all the evidence that's there.
Wow.
It never worked out for the Sodder family. They still don't know where their brothers and sisters are. Wow. I'm pretty sure that Ginny and George have both passed on by this time because it has been a long time now.
Yeah.
And the monument to their kids stood for, I think, like 50 or 60 years. They eventually tore it down in, I think, 1986 or something like that. Or it must have been later because I said 50 or 60 years. I don't know, but it was there for a really long time before they actually ended up taking it down. It had photos of all the kids and a description of, like, they said it was a fire that took our kids, but we know that they disappeared that night, and we still don't know where they are. We're looking for them.
Mm. I mean, probably also with that updated picture, do you know where this guy's at?
Right.
Well, now with, like, Ancestry.com, I feel like they's going to be meeting up soon. You know, family members finding each other all the time.
You'd think. True. I mean, at this point, if they were 14 in 1945, then that makes them... in their 80s or 90s. So, I don't know. It might just be a mystery.
Yeah.
Left for time.
You don't think they, like, pass that story down?
They're not just like, remember that time we got abducted? Is that what you mean?
Right, yeah.
Remember that one Christmas where we became part of a different family? Oh, yeah.
Or that they could have reproduced, so there would be that lineage.
Sure. Yeah. It's always possible. And who knows? It could be that they... got really hard into mob activities or died unpleasantly early or could be that they ended up back in Italy. I don't really know what you do with five Italian
captured
kids.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the theories then, you know, what are people saying, you know, like
the most common one is like an Italian mafia scenario. Mm. I found that on all of the research I did on all three websites. Mm. They proposed that theory.
And it was well documented that there was this mafia local to West Virginia.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the mafia has its fingers everywhere, if you will.
I guess where there's Italians, there's the mafia.
I doubt it was like, you know, New York or anything like that.
Well, you would imagine there'd be copycat crimes then if they were targeting a family to kind of liberate these, you know, kids. There had to have been other Italian immigrants that had similar...
I understand your line of thinking for sure, but I'm always entertained by the prospect this is like some dumb upstart who's like, yeah, we gotta get the kids, Dad. Trust me, the mob's gonna be so much better if we just start taking in a few kids. And then they actually take in a few kids, and it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know taking care of four kids would be so much work.
This summer.
Yeah. CBS.
Oh, God. The Sodder Family Mafia. Oh, no.
Brought to you by the Farley Brothers.
But yeah, they never found significant bones or anything at the site. And a lot of things seem to point to just lazy inspection and stuff like that.
It seems pretty fucking weird that they would send that picture of the kid in his 30s, like, teasing and taunting them or something like that.
Don't you forget about it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we still got him chained in the bait. Did he look good?
Reasonably. Mm-hmm.
It's just like a Sears portrait almost. It's just like a, hi, I'm this person kind of picture.
He looks like a male gigolo.
Just saying.
He could have been sold into sex therapy.
It could also just be a case of simply these kids did get misplaced or kidnapped and go back overseas or something like that, like back to Italy. And it would be possible for that to just fade into obscurity. You know, you just live your life and don't worry about, you know, the fact that you're across the world from your siblings, or maybe you're just never alive. Yeah, exactly. And maybe they don't live the kind of life that helps you keep in touch, just kind of like a hard life that, who knows?
Man.
I don't know.
And they still lived in that town and everything after that?
I mean, they didn't, like, rebuild on the spot or anything, but I don't really know. I imagine it made them pretty famous there, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, if the Italian mafia people wanted them out of town or something like that, they did a pretty shitty job.
Like, what was the end game?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, I would assume it's, like, we don't want your kind here. And so
it's like buy into the mafia and buy my life insurance.
Right.
You know, it's protection or retribution. The old mafia standby.
Maybe they started paying. I don't know. Like, all right, I guess we'll pay you guys.
We still got a few other kids we don't want to disappear, right. So we'll pay our protection money. No, but that's the idea, is that the mob used to either, they go in as insurance salesmen if you don't buy the insurance. They burn down your place as retribution. Or if you do buy the insurance, they burn down your place and collect. You know what I mean? Like, they actually buy the insurance on it as well. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like the target was the kids, though. You know, it wasn't necessarily to send a message to drive the family out or anything.
Right. It was to get the kids.
There seems to be a good amount of evidence in this particular case. Normally, we're grappling for something. But there's eyewitnesses and, you know, tangible fireballs and, you know, a ladder that's been misplaced and a cut wire.
It's hidden. It's not misplaced.
Yeah, hidden. Yeah, it's hidden, straight up hidden.
Yeah.
And then there's sightings afterwards and, yeah.
My new favorite, like, explanation for a mystery like this is that...
It's Bigfoot?
Yes, but a curious, like, kindly, like, gentle, like, I just want to hang out with this family, Bigfoot.
What if he saw the fire happening, jumped in there, saved them, the jumped out, and, like, raised them?
Maybe.
He raised that kid to be, like, a male gigolo.
Chris is rubbing his eyes, dying in the corner.
Bigfoot's all getting the bipeds for Christmas and stuff.
Taking him to Sears.
There's
the portrait
your sitcom. From the forest to the bedrooms, it's Bigfoot and his kids.
Well, that's a damn shame. Poor family.
Yeah. That sounds like maybe they did some sabotage on the place. And then when the kids came running out, they had to, like, kidnap them, essentially. They're like, well, we can't really, we're not going to kill kids. You know, we just wanted to start a fire and stuff. And now you spotted us.
You don't think it's the other way around? You kidnap the kids and then you start the fire to cover your tracks?
I think they were just, they were going to start a fire. Everybody was going to run out of the house. And they were going to high-five each other.
You're right. This scenario makes more sense.
No, they were going to, because, like, you talked about, they burned down their places. Yeah, what?
They were outside when they started the fire. They were just throwing fireballs at it. They didn't have to be inside. And same with cutting the phone cord.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were outside. They were throwing fireballs at this place because they were, like...
The oldest kids ran out. Rob's theorizing that they were waiting there to grab them.
They were just... Ran down the ladder or something like that. That's how they escaped. And then they're like, oh, that's where we are. They spotted us. What are we going to do? I'm not killing any kids. Well, they can peg us. Oh, well, we got to kidnap them.
Because they can peg you?
Yeah, they can eye you. They can finger you, you know? Yeah.
What?
They put you... They said these guys were the ones.
No, this is the dumbest scenario I've ever heard.
These were the guys that set the fire.
Why would they stay and stand in the driveway?
No, don't stop him. Don't stop him. Watch, look at that fire we just made. We should stay here and wait till some kids
come down the ladder.
No,
they
would have only taken the kids and then started the fire. That's the only scenario that makes any sense. Starting the fire, waiting for the kids to run out, and being like, oh, there's kids here. There were people inside. What a surprise. I'm the dumbest arsonist in existence.
No,
make any sense.
They knew they were going to be able to run out and everything. They heard bumps in the night. Yes, I'm telling you.
They're just rolling the dice. Just like, they're either going to come down the ladder, Tony, or they're going to die. So it's just,
I'm glad Chris finds it as absurd as I do.
I'm not saying they were waiting.
Anything's possible. Yeah. That's true. God. It could be a Home Alone type mishap when they decided to kidnap.
Maybe they were throwing them in the wrong house. They're like, oh.
Sheer lack of preparedness.
5-1, maybe the 5-5. Kids ran off
and started their own fire, you know? They're like, this place sucks.
That's true. I mean, that is a possibility. Don't rule it out because we never know. I hate to point at, you know, George and Jenny Sauter, but you never know what was going on in that house.
Sure. Well,
or with a weird uncle or something, you know? There could have been some abuse there. We don't know.
Or just angst, like, you know, just good old angst, you know.
Good old angst.
Good old fashioned angst.
This sucks.
I want to go on the road and start a country band.
Got that knapsack going. Just boom. Bam, fucking burn the house down.
Yeah.
Place sucks. I don't
know. It could be.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be aliens.
It's better than Rob's theory.
My theory is just as solid.
All right. Sure. We'll let the viewers.
All right.
Or the listeners. It could be aliens.
It's always aliens.
Zap the roof real quick and beam some kids out the window.
When they abducted them and then they took off, like, the exhaust radiation or exhaust, started the fire or whatever.
Yeah, because you got to have some pretty powerful thrusters to, like, hover and then...
Unless they're using some unknown technology that doesn't use thrusting in it. You know, anti-gravity or magnetism. Or
we fly via magnets. Welcome aboard the Oracle. We understand that you're Italian children. We have made for you spaghetti and meat bugs.
There's like a little Please alien out front cranking the UFO.
We gotta go! I love this rudimentary at UFO. We have to crank a wheel to get across the galaxy.
There's like a couple of them pushing.
Is it in neutral?
Well, I'm like, come on, guys. He's got his head out the window. He's like, this isn't working yet.
Did you put it in neutral?
Put it in neutral.
Galaxy, I swear to God.
This is the last time we steal kids with you.
Yeah, I just like to think that there was a curious Bigfoot who, like, just knocked over a lantern.
It happens when you got big feet.
They just had to cover their tracks. He just happened to, like, snip the line when they were climbing out down the ladder, and then, you know, they ran into the forest together and lived an enchanted Bigfoot life.
I hope that's what happened.
Me too. Yeah.
Clearly it's a good way to live. That, you know, the dude's not looking like he's in bad health.
Bigfoot,
yeah.
Abduct me.
careful what you wish for.
Take me in your big hairy arms. Show me the life I can only dream of.
Chris, it's time for us to be married.
You promise.
You promise.
What if Bigfoot's a chick? It'd be like the best thing ever.
Whoa. No. Let it be known that Chris is looking for a woman who is in about, like, 7'8".
A lady Bigfoot.
7'10", very hairy.
90% hair.
Lives alone in the middle of nowhere.
Chris, there are no female Bigfoots.
Yes, there are.
You'll have to marry me. Chris, I've been waiting for so long. Just at least let me show you the dress I made.
Hold me tight.
That's what I'm saying. You laugh, but, you know.
You guys would make good music together.
Yeah, beautiful music.
Yeah, Bigfoot beats.
Yeah, maybe he's got a whole, like, drum set and everything. He bangs on his drums and, yeah.
That's the musical accompaniment for Change Now. Bigfoot beats.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
and welcome to Change Now. We're so excited to have Bigfoot Beast supply our music here today.
He's like really good too.
He plays. He's like dope as fuck.
He plays every time. What do you think happened to the Sodder family? Do you think it was aliens? We didn't even like. We haven't mentioned ghosts in a while. I just thought about that.
Demons.
Yeah, that's true.
Hellfire.
Especially because if you open a portal, you know, from hell and just grab some kids and you leave behind brimstone and fire in your wake.
They snap your phone lines.
This could have been little demons.
Take your spark plugs. Satan, he's a trickster, he is. Yeah.
Come now, children, it's time to go down below. Don't forget the ladder.
Let me hide this ladder, snip that phone wire. I'm going to go down and fuck with the truck.
All right, no more.
I'm going to make some obscene noises while I'm doing this.
If you're bored, I've got one of those Universal game consoles in the trunk.
It's just a really big limo that Satan drives. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
For the time being.
We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. If you'd like to get one of our t-shirts, highmystery.com. If you'd like to partner with us, highmysterypodcast@gmail.com. We would love to have your custom art submissions for High Mystery. Draw us a Bigfoot getting stoned or some aliens hitting a vaporizer.
Sounds pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, thank you so much for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, many thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Robert.
I'm Chris.
Bye. So long.
Sayonara.